Hello and welcome to Walking Movies. I'm Nick and I'm walking to the movies. And oh, what a surprise. What a surprise. Who saw that coming? Hands up. Let's count you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, 6. Okay, almost all of you. Okay. Well, yeah. That's what this podcast is. Why should it be any different? I mean, that said, occasionally I do, right? Sometimes I record from home. Sometimes I've had to do things a different way. But mostly, it's me walking to the movies. And actually, if anyone follows me on Instagram or the Facebook group, I will be shortly publishing a photo of me. So you can see what it's like to see me recording this podcast as I walk around the suburban, this own jungle. Right, so we are going to be talking about Knock at the Cabin, as that is the film I'm seeing today. But before we get into that, I wanted to talk a bit about cinema news, because this is not something that's affecting me in the UK, but it's something that could potentially have knock-on effects around the world when it comes to cinemas. And I was listening to my good friends over at Diz Down Under in Australia, and they were talking about this story, and I thought it was probably most appropriate to talk about it on this one. So AMC, one of, if not the largest cinema chain in America, they've announced that they are looking to introduce tiered pricing to cinemas. So what this would mean is that tickets in the first few rows at the front would be cheapest. Tickets kind of towards the back be slightly more expensive. And those prime positions in the cinema, in the middle, are going to be most expensive. And I've been thinking about this quite a bit. Actually, just before I left, I mentioned it to my wife and asked her about what she thought. And she thinks in whole it's a bad idea. But I'm going to play devil's advocate. I'm going to look at both sides of this conversation, because I'm Switzerland at the moment on this, firmly in the middle. I can see the pros and cons. So I mean, let's talk about the cons first, I guess. By putting this in, you are making the cinema just like any other form of entertainment. You are going to potentially stop people going, because if you add on a few dollars for a ticket for a decent view, one where you're not hurting your neck to watch a film, you're probably not going to go. You'll probably choose to just wait to see it, because you know, if you're going alone like I generally do, then it's just one ticket. But if you're going as a family, you know, that could be three or four tickets, maybe more, that you're all paying a little bit extra on top of, just for the luxury of sitting where you want to sit. And you know, I think the cinema has improved from when I was a kid. You know, when I was a kid, you had to queue up before the film was going to start, sometimes, you know, an hour in advance or something. And you know, the closer you were to the front of the queue, the more likely, number one, you was going to get a ticket, but number two, that you was going to be able to get a seat you was happy with. And of course, with the advent of, you know, online booking systems, you can now book your seats in advance. You can buy tickets in advance. You don't have to worry about getting there in a hurry. So we've come a long way. But when you're, the cinema is not the same as a theatre, it's not the same as going to a concert. So the fact that they are introducing this kind of tiered pricing does mean it's something that is going to affect people wanting to go. On the pro side, cinemas have for a long time, you know, not been making huge losses, but they've been making losses. Like, cinemas are not known for being extremely profitable. Their money is made on the additions, the soda that you drink, the popcorn that you buy, the nachos that you buy. So that's where they really make their money. You know, a bag of popcorn costs pennies, but they select you for, you know, £3 or £4, or I don't know how many dollars, $5, $6, whatever. And the same with drinks. You know, they use syrup machines, so your Pepsi or Coke, depending on the chain, will cost them pennies or charge you pounds. So the money's not where they don't make their money on the ticket price, they make it on the other extras that you buy. They of course do make some money off a ticket, but it's not huge profits. I guess that's the point. So if they did this, this is an opportunity for them to make some extra money. Now, one thing my wife said, which was interesting, was how much are they going to charge for this? And I don't know. But at the moment, going to the cinema I'm going to today, you're looking at about £13 for a ticket. We'll just use that as a rough figure. Now, if you decided based on that, that the cheapest tickets were now going to be £13, that's not a good deal. And then let's say you charge £1 or two more for the other ticket. So you might be looking at £15 for like the best seat, for example. Now, if they flipped it, so actually the lowest price ticket was actually £10, well then that's cheaper than it was before. So you're not being penalised as such. You're actually being offered a slight discount for not wanting to have the same seat you had before. And the thing is, you know, I normally book to see my films in advance, so I know where I'm going to sit. If I turned up on a whim and I hadn't done that, I might have no option but to sit at the front if I wanted to see the film. And then you make a decision, do you see it or not? So there are more cons than pros. I will say that. I guess I'm not quite as stuck in the middle as I said I was. But I think it's interesting that they're doing this. I wonder if they will go ahead with it. You know, Netflix have recently announced that they're changing how they allow accounts to be shared or not, obviously. And the steps that they're putting into place to prevent that. And that got a lot of backlash, and now they've come back and said, actually, we're not going to do that now. I'm sure they'll find a way of doing it. I'm sure it'll still go ahead, but they're not going to do it in that way. So is this going to happen? Will they trial this at a few cinemas and decide it's not worth the backlash? And it's just a bit of publicity for them. I don't know. But it's interesting because, you know, if this did work, this is something that they would probably roll out to other subsidiaries they have around the world. I think AMC owns Odeon, if I remember correctly, in the UK, so it would affect that chain potentially. But of course, if one does it and it works, they're all going to follow suit. They're all going to do the same thing. So it's interesting, I think. But what do you think? Drop me a message, let me know. Interested to hear your thoughts. So, now that's out of the way, let's talk about the film that I am off to see today. So it's Knock at the Cabin. This is the latest film by M. Night Shyamalan, director of films like The Village, Lady in the Water, that one about the plants taking over the world. He also made a few films that people did like The Sixth Sense and Unbreakable, and Glass and Split seemed to be quite popular. For what it's worth, I liked those films. I liked Glass and Split. I think Split was a bit more divided when it came out, but I thought it was good. I haven't watched it since, but I enjoyed it at the time. I'm sure I still enjoyed it now. Yeah, he's an interesting director. You know, when The Sixth Sense came out, they really thought he was going to be the next Spielberg. And he's had an interesting career. And after a few kind of like big budget flops like Avatar, no, not that one, the other one, The Last Airbender, he's kind of come back to making smaller films. And I didn't do one with The Smiths. Will Smith and his son. I'm sure he did. Is that After Earth? Yeah, let's have a look. After Earth 2013. He was in that. Will Smith. Jaden Smith. There you go. I haven't seen him in for a while. Not a bad thing. So Knock at the Cabin is his latest film. Based on a 2018 novel called The Cabin at the End of the World by Paul G. Tremblay, which I've not read, so I don't know anything about the film, about the book. But this stars Dave Bautista, aka former wrestler and Drax actor Bautista, Jonathan Groff, he of, Glee? I know more of his voice work. He's Kristoff in those Frozen films. Ben Aldridge, who I'm not that familiar with. Oh, it says Rupert Grint. He of Harry Potter. He's actually been doing some stuff with M. Night Shyamalan. Because he's in Severance, I think it's called. Something that my wife's been watching on Apple TV for the last few years. So I've always been casting this. So, another low-budget film, $20 million budget. It's already made $28 million worldwide. So, it's made back its budget, but obviously, as we know, films need to make back at least three times to be successful, profitable. I saw a trailer for this a few months ago. I do like a fair bit of his work. I've not seen everything. The Happening, that's what it was called, The Happening. That's the one about the trees, wasn't it? I like his stuff enough to give his stuff a go, at least once. But there are films I haven't seen. I haven't seen The Happening, as it goes. I did try and watch Avatar The Last Airbender and got bored, so I turned that off. I didn't see Old, which I did want to see, I just never got round to it. He's an interesting director. I think his problem was like the first few films that he did all had kind of twists. That was the thing. And kind of moral messages. So obviously The Sixth Sense, one of the most famous of all time. Unbreakable. Signs. All spiritual, all had twist endings. The Village, another one with a twist ending. So I think he got labelled with that. My understanding here, because it's based on a book and not his own work, is that this doesn't. But I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't know. But I saw a trailer for it, and I thought it looked interesting. I think Dave Bautista's a really interesting actor. We've had a lot of actors, wrestlers turned actors in the last decade. We've had obviously John Cena, most famously of course, and into his second decade of a Hollywood career is The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. But of those, I think Batista's had the most interesting career. Cena's done a lot of comedy roles, which I've enjoyed most of them, to be fair. I think he's good at it. His Peacemaker is one of my few highlights of the DCU. I think that character's great, and I like the show and the film that he was in. But Batista's had really interesting choices. Like, he's appeared in a few low-budget things. He's appeared in a few high-budget things. Obviously, most famously, Drax in the Guardians films and associated Marvel products and projects. But, you know, he appeared in Blade Runner 2049. He also made a film at West Ham's old football stadium before it got demolished. And he picks interesting roles. The Rock seems to be the same in everything. I would say even John Cena's had a more varied career now than The Rock. The Rock just seems to play himself in everything. But Batista does actually seem to have acting ability. And I'll be honest, when I watched him as a wrestler, I didn't see it. Like, The Rock was charismatic. Cena was charismatic. Batista had some charisma, but nowhere near to the same ability as those guys did. You know, his mic work was not the same. So, you know, I think I expected them to have more successful careers, but I think Batista's had the most interesting so far. So I'm looking forward to this film, if nothing else, than to see what Big Dave brings to this film. And yeah, I'm glad I don't know too much about it. There's, you know, I saw a trailer, I know roughly what the film's about, but hopefully that's not going to spoil things. So, as always, not expecting highbrow entertainment or anything that's going to win a load of Oscars next year, but I'm seeing this on a Sunday. I just want to be entertained. I just want to be entertained enough for the runtime of the film, and hope that this is another one of M. Night Shyamalan's films which is at least good, if not slightly better than that. But just don't be a stinker, that's all I ask. I'm giving you my time. I could have been seeing The Whale. I decided against seeing The Whale. I am going to see it, but I don't think I'll catch it before it's out cinemas again, because next week is Ant-Man time. Ant-Man and the Wasp 3. Kind of. I mean, it's Ant-Man and the Wasp 2 and Ant-Man 3, but you know what I mean. It's Quantumania. So, next week, the cinema screens are going to be taken up with that. Puss in Boots has just come out in the UK. So, shout out to... Oh, Jesus. I only replied to the message a few days ago, but one of our patrons reached out to me and said he recommended Puss in Boots because I hadn't done an episode of the podcast for it. And, yeah, it's great. It's a good film. I enjoyed it. So thank you for the suggestion. But, yeah, so I think... I don't think I'm going to catch Blue at the Whale at the cinema. And there's a film called Blue Jean that I want to see as well, but again... It's already released in the small screens. I think it'd probably be out by the time I go back to the cinema, unfortunately. But I'll catch both of those films when they hit streaming. And if I remember to, I'll review them on here. But that is enough for now. We are going to talk about The Knock at the Cabin once I've seen the film. And I've thought about the film. And I hopefully have some kind of opinion about the film. Otherwise, the second half of this podcast episode is going to be dull as dishwater, and no one wants that. Whew, it's been a long one. I'm always at the cinema. I never do this. But, you know, not to talk about. So, I'm going to play some music, and then once the music finishes, you should hear my thoughts on the film. So, hit it, DJ. So, I have seen The Knock at the Cabin. The title is a spoiler. There is a knock at a cabin. So it's no surprise. If you want to, if you don't know anything about the film, if you've not seen a trailer or anything like that, skip for the next 30 seconds or so. Because, wait for it. The Knock at the Cabin is a film that that is about how far you'd be willing to take yourself if you had the future of humanity at your hands. If it was your decision, if you could control what happens to the rest of the world, what would you do? How far would you go? So that is what the film is about. That's about spoilers I'm going to get. That's what the film's about. And it's a very interesting film. It's not... I don't think it's a classic like the films mentioned earlier, like Sixth Sense or Unbreakable or Signs. But it's definitely a good film. I enjoyed it. It's got some great acting in it. David Teesta is wonderful in it. His character is very interesting because... I forgot what I was talking about. He's great film roles. I forgot about Glass Onion. How could I do that? He was great in that. And this is like the polar opposite of how he is in Glass Onion. You know, he is a friendly giant. And I mean that in the nicest way, because he's a big guy. You know, he's got to be about 6'4". And, you know, a good 250. I don't want to eat in stones because that's his wrestling kind of way. But he's a big guy. But he's a friendly giant in this film. And it's really interesting. The story, I didn't know what it was leading to, how it was going to end. I was guessing the whole way through. Is this real? Is this fake? Is there going to be a twist? And yeah, I thought it was very interesting in that regard. I really was right into the last frame guessing what it was about, how it came to be. Just enjoyable. I mean, it's not gonna win any awards, and it's definitely probably in the high middle of his films. I mean, I try and rate my films out of 10. This is a good solid 6, maybe even 7, but around that number. We'll call it 6.5. I enjoyed it. I was pleasantly surprised. Everyone was good in it. Other than Jonathan Goff and Dave Bautista, I don't think I knew any of the other cast, but they were all really good. Oh, Rupert Grint, obviously. But like, I thought he was good in the film as well. I enjoyed myself, which is all I want at the end of the day. It was a good Sunday film, but not in the... More like if your Sunday evening is like Midsummer Murders rather than Downton Abbey. I mean, it's just to be clear, it's not Midsummer Murders, but you know, it's more adult than less easy watching than Downton Abbey. But no, I really enjoyed it. I'm glad I saw it. Would I recommend you see this at the cinema? Another question I try and answer. When I talk about films, no, I don't think you do. I don't think there was any major benefit to seeing it on a big screen, other than it looking good on a big screen. But no, this is a perfectly fine film to watch at home if you're on the fence. But I would say it's worth a watch. Absolutely. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good, and I will happily watch it again. I think when you watch films like this, it'd be interesting to see on a rewatch if I spot anything going on in a film that may provide some clues or something to what's actually going on. Not saying this is what this film's like, but you know, I think certainly for me, when I watch films, I'm just trying to understand what's going on, and I'm not looking at all the details in the background. So be interesting to see if there's any clues that I missed. But no, I'm glad I saw it, and I hope you decide to watch it, and I hope you enjoy it and have as much fun as I did, if not more. I know I've not really read any reviews. I didn't want anything to be spoilt for me, but from what I have seen, it's kind of got a bit of a mixed reaction. Some people enjoyed it, some people didn't. I definitely, obviously on the I enjoyed it side of that debate, but no, it's good. I think it's one of his better films. Definitely not a Happening or a Lady in the Water or Last Airbender. Just good. So that'll do. I think the beginning of this episode was long enough, so I was going to try and keep this as brief as possible. But yeah, as I said, hope you see it at some point. But I wouldn't say it's a film you need to rush and see at the cinema. You know, you can wait for streaming and still enjoy yourself. So yeah, that's all I've got to say for Knock at the Cabin. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. I've had a few people reach out and tell me they listen to this, which is always enjoyable. I can see people download it, but I never know who. So those people that have said that they do, thank you. It gives me a right little boost, right little confidence boost when I hear from people that have listened to it. You're normally quite positive as well. I mean, I will also take negativity, but positivity is always a little bit nicer. I imagine the next film I'll be going to see will be Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, which, again, seen a sort of first trailer for, no kind of roughly what it's about, no we're going to get Kang in there, no it's going to kick off the next phase 5, I think we're in now, of the MCU, and I quite like the Ant-Man and Wasp featured films, so hoping this will be good. Seeing it in 2D, because they're only showing it in 3D in IMAX and 4DX, and I don't particularly fancy either for this, but I'll probably be recording my review of it and going, oh, I wish I saw it in 3D. But speaking of which, I've noticed that the new Scream film, at least in America, I've not checked over here yet, but at least in America, is going to get a 3D release, which will be the first film in that series to get a 3D release. And it's no surprise that decision's been done after Avatar Way of Water came out. So I wonder if that's going to kickstart a little bit of a reintroduction of 3D films, which I assume will be post-converted, so won't be great, but hey. But interesting, especially now that they're doing that. But yeah, so look out for that. If you listen to other shows, should be recording a new Universal this week. There is a bonus Disney episode that's available now to our Patreons, and will be, I mean, you would probably be listening to this on the Patreon, so you'll have access to that already, but that'll be going out to the public next week, I think Wednesday. And yeah, until the next time, I'll take a walk to the cinema. Flynn lives.